Father, we thank you for helping us today. We are excited for all that you're doing in our lives. We know there is uncertainty. We know there is struggle. We know there is pain associated with this pandemic, but we are trusting you, God. Our faith is strong, and we are thankful for all the ways in which you are working. Bless people that are watching this right now, right where they are, where whenever they may be seeing this. I pray that this word would become a lifeline, a roadmap, specific instructions for their lives. We pray that today in Jesus' name, and right where you are, just say amen, amen, amen. I'm excited about jumping into the word of the Lord today, and I want to begin by asking you this question: how are things at home? How are things at home? I promise you that's not a loaded question. I promise you I'm certainly not trying to pick at a scab or you know, antagonize a wound. I'm just curious how things are at home. I would imagine now several weeks into what we call quarantine or safer at home, these restrictions, I would imagine you know every single nook and cranny of your house. You know where every spot is, where every smudge is. You know where they didn't get the paint even. You've looked it all over. You have seen every single part of your home, the things that you love, the things that you hope you can change or one day remodel, or maybe you're doing some remodeling while you are at home. So many of those things, and I get it. We are probably tired of being at home, or at least a little weary with being in the same place and not having many options. You know, I just can't go where I want to go or do what I want to do. So let me ask you this question as well. How are the people in your home? By now, you know every single hot button there is with those that you live with. You know exactly what it is that that drives them crazy. You have probably found one another's last single solitary nerve, and you have decided to pounce on it and to treat it like a trampoline. We're probably all getting on one another's nerves. And here's the deal. You can't get away. You can't get away from these people. You can't get away from your kids. And guess what? Guess what? This is going to shock you. They can't get away from you either. We're all feeling this. Here's the reality. Since we probably have another couple of weeks or another few weeks or another few days in this kind of quarantine, we really don't know exactly how long. We have to make it work. But hear me, I don't want to just make it work. I want to make it better. I don't want to just find a way to get along or just find a way to Band-Aid or just, you know, I got to put up with this while we are quarantined together. I want to find a way to make it better. I'm hoping that you come out of this situation with a healthier marriage. I'm hoping you come out of this pandemic with a stronger family. Maybe you will come out of this stay-at-home order, this situation, with a more behaved pet, or maybe you're teaching your goldfish to do tricks. I don't know. We're so bored at this point, we are trying anything that could possibly entertain us. But I want to challenge you today to do that now and not then. Wanting the better family, wanting the stronger marriage, wanting the better relationship among your children. I want to challenge you to focus on that now while you are in this situation, while you are in this season. And you may be thinking, well, I'll work on that when I get back to church. But the reality is we don't know when that will be. We all hope that it will be soon, but why would you wait? Why would you wait until you get back to church to make the change that you need to make? Why would you wait until you get back to church to make the adjustment in your attitude or in your mindset that you know needs to be made? Our nature always wants to put things off for a better time. But can I tell you today, there is no time like the presence, the present. You may say, well, no, that's not possible because we need an altar. How about you build an altar in your home? No, but wait, we need a pastor. How about you obey the scripture and you be the priest of your home? No, but we need a worship experience because real worship helps me to make the moves that I need to make in my life. Hey, why not praise him in your PJs? You can do it right where you are today. Because here's the best news that you're going to hear this week. I wanted to get the best news out of the way on the first day of the week. The best news that you're going to hear this week is that Jesus makes house calls. Jesus comes right to where you are. There may be people watching today that you are old enough to remember when the family doctor made house calls. Others of you have just seen the reruns of Little House on the Prairie and you've seen the doctor come and knock on the door and make himself at home and treat everyone and take care of all of the needs in the house at the same time. In fact, this last week, I began to have some tooth pain, had an old filling from when I was a kid that needed to be replaced and was creating a lot of pain. And so I called our local dentist here, and they were in emergency only. They had all kinds of questions for me. They were very curious as to what my symptoms were because they're not seeing patients. They're not open except for emergencies. But they deemed what I was going through was emergency enough that they wanted me to come in. But I kind of was hoping for the good old days where the doctor would come to your house. Those days are long, long gone. And while we may value the fact that we need an altar and we respect that and we need a worship experience in our church home and we value that and we go and we have that personal contact and connection with the pastor. We value that. Hear me today. While I value those things, until then, until all of that is reset, until I have the occasion and opportunity to get back to some sense of normalcy, I'm excited that Jesus will and can come to where we are. Jesus makes house calls. That's what I want to talk to you about today. And there's a story, Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 41. If you have a Bible close by and you want to follow along, I'm going to spend the next few moments in this setting of Scripture. Or maybe you want to look up digital on another device, your phone or something. Luke chapter 8, verse 41 says, "Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying." Now, I want you to notice some things just right at the opening of this story that we're reading from the Word of God. This man, Jairus, however you want to pronounce his name. He is a synagogue leader. He is, in our context and current vernacular, he is a church leader. That's significant because sinners, as it were, people in the world, your neighbors, your co-workers, your friends, they're not the only ones with crisis in their life. Now, sometimes it's the church leader. Sometimes It's the team church member. Sometimes it's the staff member. Sometimes it's the pastor. Sometimes it's people on the worship team. It's leaders that find themselves in challenging situations, find themselves in overwhelming circumstances. Trouble can find anyone. It's no respecter of person. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your economic standing is. It doesn't matter whether you are educated or whether you walked out somewhere along the way in high school. It doesn't matter. Trouble can find everyone and ultimately will find everyone. The difference is our response to that trouble. And I want you to see what his response was, because this man literally fell at Jesus' feet. This is potentially what sets him apart from anyone else. He doesn't come complaining to Jesus. He doesn't come bitter toward Jesus. He comes worshiping Jesus. He fell at his feet. Oh, no doubt there is a sense of urgency, and he is passionate for his 12-year-old daughter that is at the point of death. He's run a long way to come to where Jesus is, but when he gets in the presence of the Lord, when he gets to where Jesus is, he falls down in humility. He falls down in worship. Can I challenge you today that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what is happening in your life, if you will make worship your first priority, not the complaining, not the bitterness, not the anger, not the, oh, why, God, are you allowing this to happen to me? If you will make worship your first response, there's going to be time to cast your cares at the feet of the Lord. There's going to be plenty opportunity to boldly bring your request to the throne of grace. There's going to be every opportunity to say, Lord, why and what is going on? I don't understand. But if you will worship first, he fell at Jesus' feet. And he was pleading with him. He was calling out to him, saying, Lord, I need you to come to my house. I need you to make a house call. I've got some stuff happening in my house. I have some things happening in my house that desperately needs your attention. We know it was a busy day for Jesus, and he's being pulled in every direction. In fact, the Bible says that the crowds were crushing him. There were so many people trying to get to where he was. And while these crowds are pressing against him and crushing him and pulling him in every direction, another woman with an issue of blood gets his attention. And so he takes time to deal with that. He takes time to have a conversation with her and ultimately to heal her body. And Jairus, he's just waiting. Have you ever been around an important person? Maybe it's a supervisor at work. Maybe it's the CEO that's come from the home office, and you're waiting. You don't want to rush them. You don't want to tell them, hey, you've got lunch. I've got lunch in 15 minutes, so I need you to hurry this up. No, you stand and you wait until they're finished talking to whomever it is that they need to have conversations with. That's the way I see Jairus. He's being respectful. I know he's turning flips on the inside. I know he feels like he's about to lose his mind. I know he's overwhelmed with his circumstance, but he's being so patient. He's being so respectful. I heard the Bible counsel me that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Somebody give God praise for what you know he can do and will do if we will just stay in his will and wait for him to do what only he can do. And you may be familiar with the story, but the Bible says in verse 49 that while Jesus was still speaking to someone else, I might add, while he was still in conversation with someone else. Here they came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. They tell him, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." "We've come, Jairus, with an update. We've come, Dad, to tell you that when you ran out of the house with such urgency, we know you were coming after a miracle. We know you were coming after a breakthrough. We know you were worshiping because you believed that something supernatural was possible in your life. But we've called to cancel the order. We've called to return the request. We've called to say, hey, never mind. Oops, sorry, because your little girl who was dying when you left has actually died. And you don't need to trouble Jesus anymore." These are crushing words for Jairus. I can hear him thinking things like, "Wait a minute, I just left. I've only been gone for a few moments. I thought we had more time." Go back and tell my baby girl to breathe one more time, because Jesus is on his way to the house with me. But Jesus, hearing this, the Bible says, hearing this in verse 50, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." Another translation says that Jesus overheard. He overheard what those coming from his house were telling him and the argument that's going on between the two of them. And Jesus looks back over his shoulder from this other conversation he's having with the woman who has an issue of blood, or used to have an issue with her blood, and has just been healed. Jesus just throws a head over his shoulder and said, hey, buddy, don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed. Well, guess what, Jesus? It's too late, because I'm already officially afraid. And it begs the question, how do I believe again? Because I heard you, Jesus, say that she'll be healed if I believe. And that seems like a really big if right now, because having just received this negative news, I'm not sure that I believe. But do you remember the word that we taught last Sunday? If today is your first day to join our live stream, that I encourage you to go and find the archive on YouTube, or scroll down on the Facebook page and watch last Sunday, where we defined faith, F-A-I-T-H. Remember, we said you have to focus on the positive. In this situation with Jairus, how do I focus on the positive? Well, Jesus is actually coming to your house with you. I know things don't look good, but focus on the positive. Jesus is coming with you to your home. And then last Sunday, we said you have to affirm yourself. How do I affirm myself in this crisis, in this situation that I am facing? I'll tell you how you affirm yourself. You say, "All right, God, I've got something to celebrate in that you heard me when I prayed." When he fell down on his knees, when he fell down at Jesus' feet and worshiped him, it got the attention of Jesus. You still can get the attention of Jesus. You're not too far gone. You're not too broken. Your life is not too messed up. You've not made enough mistake. You can get the attention of Jesus. So you need to be encouraged today that Jesus is interested in what's happening in your life. He's interested in what's going on in your world, and he wants to help you. And then we taught last Sunday that you have to imagine God doing something good. Jairus, can you do that? Yeah, I imagine my little girl being healed. Imagine that. And then we have to trust God in everything. Woo, this is hard to do. This is so difficult. But you know what? When my circumstances have completely collapsed, when my situation has become nothing but sadness, when there is pain and problem everywhere, the only thing I have to depend on is Jesus. So Lord, I trust you. I'm not running back to my house just yet. I'm hanging with you, Lord, because I feel like showing up with you is going to be better for me than anything else I could possibly do. And then we have to hope for the best. Got to hope for the best. I'm hoping against hope. I may be teaching to someone today. You may be watching and you're saying, man, that's me. I don't have hope. I've lost hope. You've got to resurrect hope. You've got to believe again. It may be small. It may be little. It may be minuscule. It may be really small. I even heard somebody say that faith could be that of a mustard seed, just almost look like the size of a speck of pepper on your fingertip. If you can get some faith like that, you can move mountains. So let your hope live again. And then verse 51, when he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James. And of course, the child's father and mother. I hear the Lord saying that we need to check our circle. You need to make sure that your influences are right for where you are in your life. If you are hungry, desiring a better marriage, then it would be best to hang around people who believe in and who value strong marriages. Don't hang out with friends that say, leave him, girl. Run away from him, man. Check out of that situation and start fresh. No, I've got to check my circle. Jesus said, look, I've got to dismiss a number of people from your life, Jairus, because their faith is not where yours is. Their expectation is not at the level that yours is. And it's time to dismiss some people so that I can do the miraculous in your life. Verse 52, meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Jesus says, stop wailing. She is not dead, but asleep. I've always been curious. It's one of my when I get to heaven questions. Was she dead or was she just asleep? Here's the facts today. Your situation is whatever Jesus says that it is. Reality may look like your situation is dead. The marriage is dead. The situation with your teenagers is broken and beyond repair. But whatever Jesus says it is, whatever Jesus tells you that is what it is. And if he says there is life, then you better look out because there is life. But the Bible said, I'm almost done, just another moment. The Bible says that they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. These are the people that Jesus had to put out of the house. Can I challenge you today to be preemptive? To beat Jesus to the instruction and the direction to get rid of the dead weight in your life and the wrong people in your life? Can I challenge you to be preemptive, to get rid of them first, to recognize the negativity, to recognize the wrong voices, to recognize who and what is not working in your life, and go ahead and put them out? But notice verse 54 as I close. The Bible said that he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished. They were amazed. But he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Can I tell you today that Jesus makes house calls and miracles happen. So whether it's your child that you need a miracle for, whether it is your marriage that you need a miracle for, whether it is your health that you need a miracle for, Jesus is saying, get up. All of those things are only asleep, not dead. It's not over. It's not beyond repair. It's not beyond the supernatural power of God. Get up. Get up and live. Get up and see the goodness of God in your life. So whether I'm talking to mom and dad, or mom or dad, or maybe it's just you that's watching, ask Jesus to come to your house right where you are. Jesus, come to my house. I want to help someone. I want to help someone say yes and invite Jesus into your situation. Invite him to your house. We call it a yes moment at the Church Covington. You can say yes to Jesus today. You can put your faith in him. And I promise you, he is not going to let you down. Pray these words with me, or pray your own right where you are. Say this, say, Jesus, I need you to heal my heart. I need you to restore my life. I need you to fix my brokenness. I need you to heal my pain. I need you to make me whole again. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me, Lord, of every wrong idea, thought, plan, way, or desire in my life. Set me free so that the rest of my days can be the best of my days. I say yes to you. I follow you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Yeah. Come on, send those hearts up the screen today. Say thank you, Jesus, and amen. And listen, if you just said yes to Jesus, if you just decided to follow the Lord, I want you to be bold enough to type the word follow in the comments. Just say the word follow. Our hosts are going to know what that means. We want to send you an e-copy, a virtual copy of this book called Following Jesus. We'll put it into your inbox or into your email, wherever you want it. We want you to know what your next steps are. Where do you go from the decision that you just made? We promise you there is an answer to that question, and we want to provide that answer for you. Thank you for watching today. Thank you for allowing Jesus to make a difference in your life. Thank you for letting him move in your home. Jesus makes house calls, and he blessed you today. God bless you in Jesus' name.